We're going through still the series on our spiritual blessings in Christ based on Ephesians 1:3. And what we're going to go over today is I'm going to try and get in two spiritual blessings: freedom from sin and delivered from the power of darkness, or freedom from darkness, whichever way you like it. So let's open up in prayer, because the Holy Spirit's got to be the real teacher if the teaching is going to be effective. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful, bright day out there. Thank you. It's a lot better than yesterday with all that snow. But snow always reminds me, Lord, of that verse: though our sins were as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Thank you for sending your Son and shedding His own precious blood, that we could be forgiven of all of our sins, our past, today's, and every sin till the day we die. You dealt with 2,000 years ago. And not only that, thank you so much for that, but you justified every believer the moment they trusted that Christ died for their sins. He was buried and rose from the dead. And you gave us eternal life. And we're going to see how we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will, in our minds, open a little bit of the curtain to heaven, that we might see ourselves seated there, that we might know what a blessed position we have in Christ, and that we might walk consistent with that position. May your Holy Spirit be the real teacher here, Father, and may Christ be glorified today and everything. I pray for the pastor also when he teaches later, that you just your Spirit uses him also. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we'll get right into it. I ain't got no jokes like the pastor. So, you know, I throw them in there in between without trying. We're going to look at, we have freedom from sin. Now, does that mean we're sinless? No. Does that mean, when you see sin, go to Romans 6:6. When you see sin here, it's the nature, the sin nature, not the fruit. And we've been freed from the power, the authority of that sin nature. So go to Romans 6:6, and I'm not going to add any more sixes. Romans 6:6, and then verses 11 to 13. Romans 6:6, and then 11 to 13. Nice to hear them pages in the Bibles. Knowing this, that our old man, that's who we were in Adam, is crucified with him. Who's that? With Christ. We died with Christ, right? Why? Why did God do this? That the body of sin, see that idea? That's a sin nature in our bodies. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, does that mean that we don't have a sin nature? There's teaching like that. You know? Be glad you have the blessing to come to a church where the pastor teaches sound doctrine. Dave does. Steve does. And, you know, I always feel responsible to teach accurately. I used to, I still do somewhat, but not as much, get very anxious before I would preach or teach, because I want to be so accurate with this word. It's so important. To me, it's such a responsibility and a privilege to teach and preach the word. But when I was a pastor a couple years ago, you know, I'm praying and walking before the service. I'd go in the other room. And I'd say, Lord, I know I'm feeling anxious. Because I'm depending on myself to make everything perfect. And that's not how it's done. You depend upon Christ in you to express himself out of you. Then all of a sudden, I get peace. That's the same with the Christian life. So that word here, destroyed, I want you to hold your finger there. Go to Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Should I do it twice or three times? Let me repeat it. Three. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Wait a minute. I think I'm in the wrong one. Hold on. I got it written here, Hebrews. Oh, no wonder I'm in Hebrews 5. Blame it on a newer Bible, right? Okay, ready? Can't hear you.
Yes.
Come on now, you can do better than that. It's early, come on. Okay, we got one that's going. Do I got to holler at Myrtle again, put that coffee on? Okay, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, talking about Christ here, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That same word destroyed there is the same word, go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 6, where it said that the body of sin might be destroyed. Is the devil still around?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, causing a whole lot of trouble. You know, he's the little g of this world, right? The prince of the power of the air. The idea is Christ broke his power through his death, burial, and resurrection. So when you look here, the cross broke the power of the sin nature over us. Because it ruled over us. It controlled us when we were unsaved. You know, if unbelievers, they're blinded, right? Satan blinds them. There's a veil over their minds. And if they could see how they're like puppets controlled by Satan. And they're controlled by their sin nature. And they'll laugh at us, right? Say, you know you're completely controlled by your sin nature? Oh, please, Jesus freak, right? But they are. And if they could see where they're at, I think they'd be afraid. You know, to think an unsaved person on their way to hell, that's a scary, scary place. And that's for eternity, isn't it? And guess what? We got the answer, don't we? The gospel, Jesus Christ. Praise God. So, where the sin nature has been broke. So, do we have any excuses to sin?
No.
I don't know about you, but that just convicts my heart. Because, so that means we make choices, don't we? And if I ask, actually I will. Everybody who makes bad choices and sins, I want you to put up your hand. All right, everybody who didn't, you're sinning because you're a liar. Yeah. He says they have no sin, right? That's a liar. Calling God a liar, actually. So we all struggle with it, right? That's why you study this word on your own. That's why you come to church, get the doctrine you've been studying stirred up. And remember how the pastor, I love that phrase he uses, it animates it in your life. It brings it to life. We got to be reminded we're freed from the sin nature. See, it's not I can't sin. You know, we all can sin. We got a sin nature. You know what grace does? It makes us not want to sin. Why? Because God's going to punish us? No, we know here in this church, and if you're a grace believer out there and you're in a solid assembly with solid, sound teaching, then you know God's punished Christ in our place, right? So he's not going to punish us for our sins. But grace teaches us to deny sin, right? Say no to unrighteousness and to live upright and godly. Why? Because out of gratitude. I don't want to sin because it brings shame on Christ, right? The name of Christ. It brings shame on our church. You know, it brings shame in our family. You know, it takes years to get a good reputation. And as a believer, it takes some time, a long time, before people start respecting you and listening more. Because I'll tell you how I know that. As a young believer, y'all know I was under legalism. And man, I was walked that aisle every week, recommit to the commitment I broke the week before. You know, and I get just spiritually burnt out. And I would end up getting angry and stuff, disappointed. And I didn't know my identity in Christ. I didn't know how, by grace, how to apply. I didn't even know nothing about Paul's gospel or how to rightly divide the word. So I would get mad and I'd go out and get high. And then I would get convicted on it because any believer can do anything that you did before you got saved. We're all capable of it. You know, our flesh never gets cleaned up. You know, it can be religious, it can be moral, it can be self-righteous, right? But it's there. And you know what? Then when I would, one time somebody said, I heard you're on the wagon. And I said, bro, I'm driving the wagon. You know, very pride. What happens with pride? Pride comes before the fall. Yeah. So what happened was people didn't listen to me much. In my family, when I shared the gospel with them, do you blame them? Look at, yeah. But you know, when I started growing in grace, one of my uncles told me, he says, Paul, you notice how your uncles listen to you more now? You know why? They saw more of a consistent walk. They saw the joy. One time, my gay uncle was there, and my other uncle, George, both of them, I love so much. They're both good hearts. My Uncle George tells Uncle Rich, he goes, look at this kid. You know, I'm in my 20s, but you know, I'm going to be 63 next month, so I say kid now when they're in their 20s, right? He said, look at him. He ain't got a penny in his pocket, and he's happier than both of us. See, they seen the joy of the Lord, and that adorns the gospel. And people will listen more when we're consistent. You know, when you tell them that God forgave you for all of your sins, because Christ died for your sins, all right? Now, that don't mean they're saved. Salvation is not just forgiveness. Salvation is when you trust in the gospel, you believe it, God declares you righteous, and he gives you eternal life, right? Spiritual life. That's salvation. You know? But if you're telling people, you know, God loves you, and Christ died for your sins and to forgive you, but you're not forgiving. Are you think they're going to pay much attention to that? Here I go again, three fingers pointing at myself. One thing I have learned a long time ago how to forgive, because when I understood I'm forgiven for everything, why wouldn't I forgive somebody else? You know, how I've sinned against God at different times in my life. And then you think about somebody, you know, because your flesh says what? I ain't forgiven them. Matter of fact, I'm going to get them back where they'll never do it to me again. I'm going to take that knife and, you know, I'll bring it up every time I want to manipulate them with guilt. Yeah. But when people see your forgiveness, you're loving, you're forgiving. See, that's Christ living out of you. That's what grace teaches us to be available, right? God, I want to glorify Christ. I want to glorify you. I want to adorn the gospel, you know. And it's a joy to want to serve the Lord, right? Out of gratitude. You know, if you don't want to serve the Lord, something's wrong. As a believer, seriously. You either don't understand grace or you're not a believer. You know, just because somebody comes to church don't mean they're a believer. You know, because I go to the picture show don't mean I'm a movie star. All right? See, grace should motivate us. You know, I always say that because I didn't steal it from somebody, so, you know, I use it more often. That until you don't understand grace, or grasp grace until grace has grasped your heart, not just your mind, your heart. You know, grace is the great motivator. You know, when you think all God's did, look at, he freed us from our sin nature. We were slaves to Satan, right? And he freed us. You want to shame him? No. You want to make Daddy pleased. He's pleased in who we are in Christ. Don't get me wrong. But it pleases him when we start seeing ourselves the way he said he's made us in our identity in Christ. And you start walking. You know, it's just, you're not being a, when a believer is walking in sin, they're actually being a hypocrite. You know why? Because that's not who they are. They're faking it because that ain't who they are. It's not, oh, he's a hypocrite. No. Because it don't match with who you really are. You know, and when we start seeing that, when we start seeing these spiritual blessings, you know, I'm hoping it revives us, you know, within. That's what real revival is. It's not like Billy Graham in a big Coliseum or Soldier's Field, bringing a bunch of unsaved people there. Revival begins in people's hearts, in believers' hearts. And when you get revived, what happened, it starts like a fire, you know, catches. And when you get a passion, you start affecting other people. You can also affect people in a negative way too, right? So we see in Romans 6:6, our sin nature, you know what that word has the idea? It's made inactive, ineffective, inoperative. In the Amplified Bible, it says, in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for sin. In the Way translation, in order that our sinful nature might be neutralized. See, the idea is the cross, not only the blood of Christ shed brought complete forgiveness, right? We have redemption through what? His blood, the forgiveness of sins. But the cross broke the power of sin. Aren't you glad you're freed from it? Amen. You know what sin does to your life? See, God's not going to punish us, but you sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh, right? Sow to the Spirit, you reap from the Spirit. I'll tell you, it's a lot better sowing to the Spirit, you know. You're a lot, you're going to have a spiritual happiness, if I could say that, joy. And when you sow to the flesh, you're going to have more frustration in your life. So look at verses 11 to 13 in Romans chapter 6. You go there, and I'm going to read at verse 1 first. What then shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. Never, 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 never. How shall we that are dead to sin live it in any longer? See, you died who you were in Adam, right? Yeah. So why would you live under the control of sin when you don't got to? Is this complicated? No, religion makes it complicated. Man-made philosophies. Know ye not, so you got to know some stuff, that so many of us as we're baptized, that idea is not water here, it's placed into, identified with, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, we're identified with Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. So we died in Adam, we went over some of these, that's some of these spiritual blessings, some we're going to, will be coming up. So because of this, you died with Christ, you were buried in Adam, you'll never come back again. That doesn't mean the sin nature is not there. It's there. Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't. You ever go through that? What I don't want to do, I do. What's the answer to it? What did Paul say? A wretched, that's somebody focused on themselves under legalism. You know, you can put yourself under your own legalism, living up to your own standards, right? And when you're focused on you and your failures, that's not a good state to be in. And that's what Satan does. See, why is it so important to know these sound doctrinal truths? Because Satan is going to hit you with them flaming arrows and doubting darts, my wife calls them. He's going to look at you. What kind of Christian are you? Are you even saved? See, I used to wonder, as a young believer, how did I get them thoughts? Am I really saved? I didn't know the doctrine of two natures, and I read a book by Craig Macy, I think, Adjust or Self-Destruct, and I think then they changed the name. And when I understood that, oh, was that freeing? It's like, that's why I can get these bad thoughts. Bob George, it was beautiful. I took my buddy, my best friend. He was starting to grow in grace. I was doing a Bible study with him. And we went and seen Bob George in Indiana, actually. Jacob, could you give me some water, please? And Bob George asked everybody in the place, he goes, raise your hand. How many of you decided you want to spend some time with God? You want to really get into the Word, you know? Or maybe spend some time in prayer today. And the filthiest, dirtiest thoughts come into your mind. You know how many raised their hand? Everybody in the place. And my friend was like this. He says, I thought it was just me, Paul. He said, you don't know what that did for me. See? Because Satan tries to get you to look at what you're doing instead of who you are. You know? You're totally justified in Christ, right? Totally righteous. Satan, you think he wants you to know that? You think he wants you to tell other people? Other believers that are under legalism? Thank you, sir. He's all right for a stepson, yeah? He took a while out there, didn't he? Better not put no X-lax in there, Jake. So important to know these grace truths. Think how blessed you are today. Not that I'm such a great, Bible teacher. The message is great. You're being told who you are, how God sees you. The pastor is going to be building you up in sound grace doctrine. No, you ain't got to agree with every little thing he says. But overall, the pastor is, I was thinking about it. How would I describe my pastor this morning? So I was praying for him. As a sincere, humble, good sense of humor, and very caring man. Amen. You know, that's, and he cares. What I like, he's humble. You can, how about it, Boyd? You can, if you don't agree on something he taught, you can go to him, and he doesn't get like, oh, how dare you? You get out of my church. He's not like that. He's a humble man, you know. And I like that because none of us got it all, right? Only God got it all. So to me, if I'm wrong about something, I want to change my mind. Why you want to dig your feet in and, you know, that's the flesh. So anyway, because of what Christ did, and the Holy Spirit did. He placed us in and identified us in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Go to 11 through 13 of Romans chapter 6. 11 through 13. Likewise, well, jump back to verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. So he died to break that power to sin nature once. You know, sometimes do you pray, God help me to stop sinning? Think about it. He did it once. Ask God to show us how to appropriate by faith what He's already did. We have everything we need in Christ. What's the name of the series? Based on Ephesians 1:3. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. You're complete in Christ. God's not going to give us more. The only thing that His Spirit will do is give us illumination. So what we have to do is learn to appropriate by faith. Like when I was in the hospital and all that pain for 4 months and 2 months in the rehab, I kept appropriating by faith. Father, thank you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And every day, every time I felt pain, and I did it. Actually, Christ through me. And I had joy and I had peace in the midst of pain. That's grace, baby. You know, grace is, God's grace is so amazing. So here's where we have to appropriate. If you want to grow, I want to get on to the next thing, so I'm not going to go to all the verses. I'm just going to tell you. You got to know some things, the verses 6 and 8. Here, we're at 11, actually verse 4 and then verse 11. You got to reckon, and I'll explain that. And then you have to, in Romans 6:12, verse 12 and 13, then Romans 12:1-2, you present yourself to God. So you got to know some things first, right? How can you reckon if you don't know about these things, right? So it's very logical. So because God, is it something you feel? Do you feel like you're dead to sin? Do you feel Christ in you? We know He is, right? Why? God's Word said. Do you feel like you died to who you were in Adam? That you were buried in that cold tomb? And that you rose with Christ? No, it's something you know. Once you know it, you understand it, you grasp it, you know what happens? Usually, your feelings follow. When God said to forgive as you've been forgiven, you ain't going to feel like forgiving somebody who hurt you, do you? Oh, I'm sorry. You forgot to shine the halos. Somebody does something to you, what's the flesh want to do? Get them back. Matter of fact, hit me. I want to hit you 3 times so you won't even think about doing it again, right? Your husband does something to you? I'll show him. He'll never do that to me again. He'd be sleeping on the couch with my wife. You know, or, you know, like, what about like the silent treatment? Right? I won't talk to them. They're going to wiggle and, you know, they ain't going to giggle. They're going to wiggle, or they're going to feel real bad. So next time they're going to do what I want because I'm God. That's the flesh, right? So here, when God says to do something, you do it. And then you get the feelings. Yeah, I'm always glad when I forgive. You know why? Because it eats away at you. It eats you away. It's like acid in a container. You know, it eats away the container. And the people, when they're not around you, it ain't even bothering them. While you're sitting there. Got the joy of the Lord. Got the, you know. See, when God says something, we step out in faith and we do that, and the feelings come. Because then you do feel like you forgave them. And when the flesh brings it back up in your mind, what do you got to do? I forgave them. Remember what Paul said, I forget the past? Does that mean he got amnesia? It means he don't keep reliving it in his mind. Does God got amnesia when it talks about our... in the Bible, sins being behind his back. God knows every sin we did, but he dealt with it once, so he's not bringing it up to us. So when it comes to your mind, who's bringing it? Satan or the flesh. So what do you do? Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. See, that's not me anymore. No. I don't have to respond to them impulses, them desires, them feelings. I can reckon myself dead to that and alive to God. but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. See, we don't have to let it reign and rule. That you should obey its lust thereof. So you see that, how could you obey its lust thereof if you ain't got a sin nature no more? See how teaching, the Bible will just destroy false teaching. You ever notice that? You hear stuff and you know the word and you're like, neither yield, or you could interpret that, and neither offer or present or yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but what? Yield, again, Romans 12 would say present. I believe it's the same word. But yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. So this has to be applied. You know, did any of you have a little bit of tough time this week in some things? I did. Ain't you glad you came this morning to be reminded of things? Get the, it's like a compass to me coming to church and a family reunion, because our church is so warm, you know. I guess we got a reputation. That's a good reputation. I used to have a bad one. I was a black sheep in my family. Okay, let's go to Galatians 5:18 and then 16. Galatians 5:18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under law. Do you remember last week we dealt with, we have freedom from the law? We got freedom from condemnation of the law. Could you imagine being under law? Have you ever thought about it? What you had to do under law? I mean, it was sacrifices over and over. And then you got to bring this lamb where everybody knows you're a sinner. And then if you do it again, you got to do it again, right? So everybody see, they're going, ooh. You know, the gossipers probably loved the lamb. Look at them going up there again. Oh, I'm glad I'm not a sinner like them. But like the Pharisee just lets it roll off his lips, sinner. Self-righteous. We can be like that. Do you see yourself in the Bible? We can be Pharisaical, you know. You have to be very careful, and I think you got to work on being humble, actually, you know. You have to watch. When you really study the Word a lot, it's real easy. You can get puffed up because, you know, if it's just knowledge puffs up. If it's not knowledge that's working down in where it produces love, the only thing that counts is faith working or expressing itself through love. So we found out we're not under law. Right? So, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So is the Holy Spirit leading us under the law? Doesn't the law condemn? And the law is a knowledge of sin. So what's Satan going to try and do? Get you under the law. And you're thinking, you're legalism. Look at what you did. Look at what you did. Man, pick up that shield of faith, right? Psh, 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 right? Coming that way. And you know what I notice? You know, it depends your growth. We're all at different levels of growth, right? But you ever notice sometime we're putting on some of the armor and you leave some stuff off? And that's right where Satan will go, right? You know, God's given us armor. We're equipped, you know. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have Christ in us. We got God in us. When the things you face, don't look, Kirkwood used to say, our old pastor, don't look at the degree of difficulty, but the abundance of supply when you're facing something. Martin Luther said, never think of yourself apart from Christ. You know that? When Satan throws, look at you. Worry? Oh, not going to make that bill. Not going to make that. How are you going to do this? Your kids. You got to take them thoughts captive, right? If you don't put up that shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, I'm not saved by my good works. I'm saved because Christ's good work. So, go to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh. So instead of, again, I've said this before, but how do you learn? Three things, right? Repetition, repetition, repetition. Doesn't it say be transformed by the renewing of your mind? That means over and over and over. So last week's Bible study ain't good enough for this week. You know? Oh, yeah. I went to church. I was brought up in church. I don't need to go to church anymore. I know all about that stuff. Oh, really? It shows. Right? Yeah. You ever have people tell you, oh, I go in the forest preserve and worship, you know, with God and sing and talk. Well, that's good. I do that too. But you need to assemble together, man. Everybody's got spiritual gifts. That I believe that. You know, some don't. They don't think there's any spiritual gifts today. I do. And when we all get together, them gifts are working, and we're edifying, encouraging, comforting. The body of Christ, there's no better counseling tool than the body of Christ, right? So instead of saying, God, how do I stop sinning? What do you say? In verse 16, what's it say? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh, right? So start praying, God, teach me how to walk in the Spirit. Well, how are you filled with the Spirit? That's what I was taught. Run around the church, roll, you know, do the jig. Right? We were singing them old Pentecostal songs, remember? We were having some fun. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to any charismatic or out there Pentecostal, because I was 1 8 years. But I was taught this, all outward manifestations of Spirit. The power of the Spirit's inward. Read Ephesians chapter 3. We're not going to go there, but it's inward, see? And the Holy Spirit in each one of us, when we get together, to me, I got to think of a different word. It's magical. It's like a family reunion. I love coming to church. Yeah, I love you guys. You know, we might bump heads. Some people might not like me, but I love you anyway. And you ain't got to like me to love me. Right? Remember, if you love me, May 22nd is my birthday. The pastor starts out with the joke. I start ending with the joke. So let's ask God to teach us how to walk in the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, right? Be not drunk on wine, which is an excess. That's a drunk, controlled, alcoholic, controlled by it. It's not somebody who's moderately drinking. But be filled with the Spirit. It's a continue. The idea is continually being filled. Because one moment, maybe we're not. We're walking under an influence of the flesh because we allowed it. The next moment, we get focused. So whatever you're in dependence on is going to control you. If you're dependent on Christ in you, the Holy Spirit to produce His fruit, He's going to control you. It's like I said, it's not a complicated thing. And that's the power of the Spirit. The power to love people unconditionally, right? The power to have boldness to share the gospel with the lost. How about to stand up and share the mystery, that gospel that Christ revealed to Paul with believers? That takes boldness because, man, they're going to talk about you, some. And that's okay. At least they're thinking about you, right? I'm only going to get this spiritual blessing in today. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. What is it, honey? I'm going to let you do the third one. I'll let you read it before I read it. Okay. I'm going to end right on time today. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Stop there for a sec. What's that tell you? Every believer has a Holy Spirit, right? In Ephesians 1, right around 13, 14, it said, the moment you believe that gospel, right, you were sealed with Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals us. It's a sign of God's ownership, you know. We got spiritual DNA and God's DNA in us now, you know. So I was taught, you get saved, then tarry or seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. See how God's word, rightly divided and in context, will clear up a lot of things? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you ain't saved, right? According to this. Look, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man, that's generic, man, woman, have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. So, people go, quit trying to steal my gift, destroy my gift. You're trying to take away my gift of speaking in tongues. No, you're trying to take away my salvation. You're telling me I ain't got the Holy Spirit. Oh, you got Christ. What's the Spirit of Christ in you, right? And if Christ be in you, the body's dead. Our bodies are as good as dead. You know that? They're going to die unless the rapture. Why? Because of sin. What's the wages of sin? Death. But don't you love the buts? Especially the but gods of Paul. But now. But God. But the Spirit is life. Because of righteousness. So in the believer, flowing through them, we have resurrection life in us. Imagine the power it took, I was telling Mary, for God to raise Christ from the dead. Every sin, every filthy thing, every lie of the whole world, every human being from the beginning of time was put upon Christ. So you can imagine the suffering he did. We can grasp some of it because it wasn't only physical. That's bad enough. But the things he went through inwardly where they were attacking his mind, Satan and his, you know, all of his dogs. But we have resurrection life in us. Next week we'll get to that. We're delivered from the power of darkness. That's a good thing. Ain't nothing but a grace thing. That's what I say. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, okay, he that raised Christ up from the dead shall also quicken, and that, my New King James says, give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. It's the Holy Spirit who produces the life out of you. He produces that fruit, right? It's Christ, resurrection life in us. And the Holy Spirit takes what he accomplished and makes it real in our lives as we depend upon Christ in us. You know, I got to close. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit? I always say he's so humble and he's a gentleman. Remember Christ said when the Spirit comes, he'll glorify him? The Holy Spirit doesn't bring attention to himself. So when you see churches that the main focus is the Holy Spirit, ooh, the Spirit's moving today, the Spirit coming down on me, right? How they'll, oh, Holy Spirit, you're welcome, come rain on us. That's an insult to the Holy Spirit, I think, that lives in you, you know? They're taught that, you know, and it goes on generation to generation. But we have the Holy Spirit in us. And he's always pointing to Christ, whether it's to an unsaved person or to a believer. Who are you in Christ? And he never brings attention to himself. What should that teach us? You know what I mean? We don't want people to notice us so much. I want to be, there's an old saying, the preachers used to say, God, hide me behind the cross. But here's the thing. I like that because it is a humble attitude. But know this. It's Christ in you expressing through your personality. You're a one and only fingerprint. Maybe you can touch somebody I can't touch. Or maybe my background from the hood, you know, I can reach guys in the street. Maybe you couldn't. But then maybe somebody that clicks with you that would think, me, what is this guy, ex-con or something? Yeah. Not that I wasn't. I went juvenile when I was a kid. But anyway, hopefully you got blessed today and it gets your focus and makes you want to serve God. And then to know how to do it's important. It's all by grace, isn't it? Let's close with prayer.